Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education. On this podcast program, I interview a variety of leaders, administrators, and educators on topics relating to classical Christian education and its ongoing recovery and renewal in the 21st century. Archives of previous interviews can be found at our blog and podcast site at www.insideclassicaled.com. Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education, and we're here today talking with Ashton Murphy, a student at Grace Academy in Georgetown, Texas, and also her Latin teacher, Karen Moore, who's also at Grace Academy. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Reason that we're having this interview is because Ashton did something that is somewhat remarkable. She was designated the number one achieving Latin student at the recent National Convention of the National Junior Classical League. So that's kind of interesting to those of us who are Latin aficionados. So congratulations to you, Ashton.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally? I'm wondering if you're born and raised in Texas. And tell us a little bit about your family, your parents and your siblings, and what it's like to grow up in Georgetown.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in Texas, Pflugerville, and then I moved up to Georgetown so that I could be closer to Grace Academy.
Hmm.
I have a mother who's a homemaker, and my father sells King Air aircraft.
Hmm.
I have no brothers or sisters, and I really enjoy going to Grace Academy, and just being in Georgetown is a very great environment. People are very friendly up here.
Hmm. You said that your parents moved to be close to Grace Academy, so they must have been quite interested in what the school had to offer.
That's right. Two friends of my parents from Sunday school, they had their kids going to Regents, and so they told my parents that we should really be interested in classical education. And my parents started researching this, and they found Grace Academy. And originally they were planning on putting me in Grace Academy until I was old enough to get into Regents. But then they put me into Grace Academy, and at the time we were living down in Pflugerville, so it was about a 30-minute drive up to go to school, but then they just fell in love with the school.
Hmm.
And so just maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we moved up here.
Uh-huh. And when did you start at Grace Academy? What grade?
I started in third grade.
Okay. And what grade are you going into now?
I'm going into my junior year, 11th grade.
Okay. Fantastic. And so I guess you've had Karen Moore, or I suppose you might call her Mrs. Moore or Miss Moore down at Grace. But when did you start studying Latin with Karen?
I started studying in fourth grade.
Okay. And Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been teaching Latin, and what drew you to this profession?
Well, I've been teaching Latin at Grace Academy for 8 years. I'm beginning my ninth. I taught a few other places before that, some in public school, some in private school, some tutoring homeschool students. I began my journey into Latin in seventh grade when I was in public school, and my mother strongly recommended I study the language. And at first I did so reluctantly, but I soon fell in love with it and found it fascinating, not just the language, but the history and the culture that you end up studying with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I continued on in my high school year, and I had fantastic teachers that just made this language come alive. So I continued on into college, where I picked up Greek, and I graduated with a classics major and pursued a career in teaching after that.
Well, excellent. And it sounds a little bit like Ashton's biography is somewhat in parallel with yours when you were in school, although you started, I think, in junior high, and here she started studying Latin in fourth grade. So I guess she's got a leg up on you.
She does. She does. I expect all my students to surpass me by the time they graduate. That's my goal.
Well,
get them up past me.
Well, tell us what it's like to have a student like Ashton in your class and what it's like teaching Latin generally to students from the upper elementary years up through high school.
Well, I'll tell you, my very first memory of Ashton was before she was in my classroom. As she said, she came into Grace in third grade, but began studying Latin with me in fourth. At the time, we began Latin in fourth grade. And In the mornings, we would have an assembly period, and one day a week was given to Latin, doing a Latin song or a Latin chant. And so I'm in the front of the school before the student body leading some Latin chants, and I believe it was the first declension, which some endings are repeated. Mm-hmm. You see the ending A-E and the ending I-S in multiple places. And out of the student body, you know, most of the students, they just follow along like they're supposed to. And this one little third grade girl sticks her hands up and has this question. Well, you don't typically ask questions, but okay. Yes, what's your question? I want to know why the endings are repeated and what does that mean? And I just thought, okay, this one's going to be a handful. And, you know, quite precocious. And she was. But, you know, that is exactly what makes Ashton a great student, too. She has this drive to learn, to know the why and the what behind everything. And she has been a joy because she's also a challenge, because she challenges me to continue to find the answers, and she challenges me to bring her a new challenge each day, because she's the type of student that wants to be challenged and wants to take it on. You know, she's a student that sits there and says, bring it on, give me more, what else can I do, how else can I be pushed? And that's something wonderful to have as a teacher, because those students inspire you to keep your A game going.
Mm-hmm. Karen, a question for you. Ashton mentioned that she started Latin in the fourth grade there at Grace. When does the curriculum begin and end at Grace, and what curriculum do you use to teach students through fourth grade through high school?
Well, Ashton, she said, began Latin in fourth grade. After a couple years after she began, we decided to move the program down a notch to begin in third grade. For a variety of reasons. We just felt the young students, they were ready, they were eager, and we just felt it was a good move. But so for Ashton specifically, what she did, in 4th through 6th grade, she actually studied using the Latin for Children Primer Series, which is a traditional grammar-based approach. But what I like about the text is that it's teaching them the vocabulary and the chants, but then applying them to reading pretty quickly. And with her classes, we use the Labella series quite a bit to get them reading, which really was their favorite part of class. They enjoy reading stories. And, you know, the chants and the vocabulary, they enjoy chant and memorizing, but when they can put it, you know, put the nail to the board and actually start creating something and building something and reading with it, they really enjoy that. From that point, in the middle school years, I actually went to a textbook called Introduction to Latin by Susan Schelmerdine, which is a college text, similar in some ways to Wheelock in its approach. It's still a grammar-based approach, but I found it more accessible to the students. I think the students related to that book better than Wheelock because it was written in what the author called student vernacular. So that was something they enjoyed, that book. And that book used a lot of original Latin passages adapted. So she used that Introduction to Latin in 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then this past year in 10th grade, she graduated to what we call our Latin literature course, which means you've learned all the Latin grammar there is. Now let's just spend a year reading. And we read a wide variety of literature, from some of Aesop's fables that had been rendered into Latin by Phaedrus, to passages from Livy, to Cicero, and to Virgil. And Ashton, do you recall if there was any particular passage that stood out to you? What was your favorite piece from that class?
I definitely, as a whole, just like the Aesop's fables by Phaedrus. They were very cute and almost easy to translate. They're very simplistic and formulaic, and it's just fun to be able to translate these funny little stories.
Yeah, she actually wrote her own Aesop in Latin as well. And then next year, as Ashton mentioned, she will be studying the Advanced Placement Virgil course, in which she reads Virgil's Aeneid. And that's the capstone, really, to our Latin program here.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for giving us that curricular scope. Ashton, what have you found challenging about Latin through the years?
Latin is, I found it challenging to adjust, more so towards the beginning, because English, as we know, is a Germanic language, and Latin is, of course, a Romance language. And so it's just the entire setup of both the languages are so different. And so just memorizing and putting into use all the declensions and the conjugations would definitely be the most challenging part for me.
Hmm. And as you've continued to pursue your Latin studies, have there been new and surprising challenges along the way? What do you find challenging about the language now that you're going into your junior year of high school?
Subjunctive. Subjunctive mood.
Yeah, the 14 different uses of the subjunctive.
Right, yes. You can use it for everything or nothing.
What about the actual pleasure of learning Latin and reading Latin and doing some composition in Latin? Often you hear folks talk about Latin being a difficult, challenging language, but is there some delight and reward for all the challenging work?
Oh, definitely. There's definitely a reward. It's very awe-inspiring and almost humbling to be part of a language that's been used consistently for the past 2,000 years. You sort of realize that this culture isn't all there is and all there ever will be, that there's going to be change.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of part of this big brotherhood and sisterhood mm-hmm. of scholars and thinkers who have been using this language throughout the years.
Mm. So you really enjoy the knowing that you're connected to a large, long-standing, and important tradition.
Yes, definitely, which is still continuing today.
Yeah. How do you see, if you will, this tradition of the Latin language and its associated culture and history? How do you see that providing kind of practical benefits to a student like you today, here in the 21st century? What's practically useful about it?
One practical benefit is that it has increased my vocabulary. I can walk up to a word. Well, not really walk. I can see a word that I've never seen before, and then I can figure out what it means because of the etymology and because of the Latin words that have been used to create this word.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you... Perhaps you couldn't use this next thing in a job, but it also gives you perspective on how certain things in our culture are repeats from things in the past culture. Like the movie The Matrix is pretty much a repeat of Plato's cave analogy.
Hmm. So you begin to see how even modern filmmakers, authors, writers, and so forth are playing with this this tradition that goes way back. That creates a kind of pleasure, doesn't it, to be able to see that, and to some respect, there is nothing new under the sun, and to know what that thing is its own pleasure.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened at this convention and how you ended up getting there. Could you tell us a little bit about what the National Junior Classical League is, how it functions, and maybe tell us the narrative of how you ended up at the National Convention this year and took the first place.
All right. Well, the National Junior Classical League is this organization of teachers and students who study Latin or Greek, just basically any sort of classical civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And they come together at conventions and compete and write plays, draw artwork, take tests, write essays, and it's a whole lot of fun because you're just there in a group of people who love the same thing that you love. And so my first convention was actually an area convention in Austin, and I just fell in love with the Curtamen, which is like a game show, sort of Latin,
mm-hmm.
and I just fell in love with everyone around in the JCL, who was very accepting and just really awesome. And so the reason I got into all of JCL was because the older students at Grace Academy, they'd come home and they would have learned this huge passage in Latin. The first one I remember was Alice in Wonderland. And then they recited in front of the entire school. And I just thought, I want to be like them. I want to do that.
If I can interject,
the JCL is really carrying on this scholarly tradition that Ashton alluded to earlier when she said one of the things that delights me is that I'm part of this tradition, this scholarly tradition that's been handed down. And the Junior Classical League is really seeking to encourage that tradition to continue with our young people, that it's not just for the stuffy old professors in their Ivy League towers.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that students can actively engage in and participate. And so it's encouraging the study of the language and the literature and the history and the color the culture, to carry on this tradition.
Hmm. And it sounds like from what Ashton said that there are regional gatherings and competitions, and then maybe state level gatherings as well, and then finally a national competition. Is that how it works?
Yes, typically it's set up that you have a club that's at your school, or they also have homeschool clubs because the homeschools will come together and create a club. It's very easy to do. You need at least 5 Latin students
mm-hmm.
and a sponsor.
Hmm.
And so you have clubs, and then the clubs will have an area convention. So for ours would be the Greater Austin Area Convention. Then from area, you go on to state. So there's a Texas State Junior Classical League Convention we attend each year. And I believe nearly every state in the U.S. has a state convention. And then the big one is a week-long national convention, and it rotates to different universities will host it from year to year. This past year was at North Dakota State University in Fargo.
Hmm.
Next year it's going to be in Kentucky,
hmm.
I believe.
And the competition circles around creating art, some academic tests, Latin composition, and speeches or recitations, and even some athletic events. Tell us about the different tracks.
All right. Well, there are basically 3 different categories that you can enter, sort of in the larger scheme of things. Or actually, no, 4. There are academics, which include the tests that I took, Greek life and literature and Hellenic history. They all go towards the academic sweepstakes. Then you have the classical civilization events, which all go towards the classical civilization sweepstakes. Those include oratory, dramatic interpretation, costume, various other things. There's Olympica, which includes discus this year, high jump, all sorts of track things. And then there's a graphic arts category, which includes charcoal, pencil, decorative stitching, T-shirts, that sort of thing.
And the contest will vary depending upon the level. But the wonderful thing is that they literally offer something for everybody, no matter what your skill set or interest is. There's something that you can apply that to classics to and participate in.
Hmm. And tell us then, Ashton, which of these categories you participated in and how you did, and maybe describe what your favorite one was.
All right. I actually participated in all 4. I placed in all 4.
Hmm.
And the one that I participated most in was the graphic arts category.
Hmm.
I definitely consider myself mostly an artist.
Hmm.
And so I went into the convention wanting to win the graphic arts sweepstakes trophy, just that award.
Hmm.
And so I took 17 pieces of art to the convention, and I won first place in graphic art.
Hmm.
And then in academics, I prepared for both Greek life and literature and Hellenic history. I took 4th in both of those.
Hmm.
I did Olympica, the swim meet, and the high jump and the discus toss, and I placed in several events there. And then in the creative arts, which is actually a surprise, I placed 3rd in Latin oratory, 1st in modern myth, which is where you just write up an original story with a new myth
mm-hmm.
or restating an old one in modern context.
Mm-hmm.
And 2nd place in contest, or costume, and I got 4th place overall in creative arts sweepstakes, which was a nice surprise.
Oh, excellent. So, regarding the classical oratory, did that involve you memorizing a Latin oration and reciting it, giving a speech in Latin before a panel? How'd that work?
Yes, that's how that works. We memorized of one of Cicero's speeches, in which he's encouraging the Romans to basically just buck up, pretty much. He's just telling them to toughen up and talking about his great love for Rome. And so you just memorize this in Latin, memorize the scansion, and deliver it with dramatic flair in front of a panel of judges, and then they judge you, and you get a point.
Would you care to give us a line or two?
Let me remember it for a second. I've memorized several. All right, here we go. Res pisce, quaeso, aliquando, quibus ortus is, non quibis cum vivas, considera, necum ut vole, redi cum republica ingratia. Sed de te tu videris, ego de me ipsa profitebor.
And would you
basically,
please render the translation for our listeners?
All right. Well, it basically means get your wits back at some time, I beg of you. Recall those not with whom you are living, but from those you are descended. Consider, with me do what you will. Be reconciled to the state. But look to your own affairs. For myself, I shall look to mine.
Excellent. And how many of those recitations have you given over the years, would you say?
That would be hard to count up. I think this is my second year doing oratory, specifically, but I also did dramatic interpretation before that for maybe 3 years. So this would be my fifth year sort of overall.
What's the distinction between oratory and dramatic interpretation?
I find oratory is generally, at least, an original Latin passage, oration. It's generally by someone like Caesar or Cicero. And then dramatic interpretation is just written by someone from the modern day.
Sometimes the dramatic interpretation in the lower levels is a retelling of a myth, usually a myth, a story. Mm-hmm. 1 year, as Ashton mentioned, they did Alice in Wonderland in Latin. But when you get to the advanced levels of dramatic interpretation, it's usually a passage of poetry, like something perhaps from Virgil's Aeneid.
And so you compete in all these categories, and then at the end of the convention, they tally everybody's scores up and pronounce a top 10 or a top 5 list. Is that how it works?
Yes, the top 10 sweepstakes award.
And so were you surprised when they kept counting down and you were left out until the very end?
Yes, I thought last year, actually, I placed 11th overall at convention, which is one away from getting a medal. So we decided, well, we want to break the top 10. So they just kept on counting down and counting down. And they counted down past a girl who was my friend, who I knew that I'd gotten more points than she did. And then they counted the second place person, and it wasn't me. And so my mom and I just looked at myself and went, maybe it's a computer error. Maybe she got a ton of points that we don't know about. And then they announced my name as the first place winner, and we both just gasped. And I ran up to the podium and got my trophy and was just in shock the entire awards ceremony.
And Karen, what was your response?
Oh, well, it just total excitement for Ashton. I know she's worked so hard because, as she said, she really wanted to go after this and just do her very best this year. Her goal was to surpass and beat her own self in past performances. And so I know that she's really worked hard to achieve that goal this year. She said she took 17 pieces of artwork that she created over a period of months. She spent months, you know, working on this oratory piece and writing essays, and has just worked so hard. And I'm so proud of her because she's just been so disciplined in it. And it's been Ashton. It's not something that I push her to do or her parents push her to do. This was Ashton driving Ashton, and the rest of us just coming around to support and encourage her. And I have to say, I was not that surprised. I mean, you're elated, you're excited, And it's wow, but at the same time I thought, you know, as hard as she has worked over the past few years towards this goal, it does not surprise me that she would take first. She's an excellent student, and she's just a great young lady.
Well, Ashton, what do you see for yourself down the road? What does your future hold in terms of your interests, your academic interests, possible majors you might want to take in college? And furthermore, do you have any kind of career aspirations?
Well, I definitely see my Latin career continuing. I'm taking AP Virgil this year, actually, translating the Aeneid from Latin. And then I would like to go to college at UT and get into their classics program, which is actually the largest classics program in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also very good, not just for being a Latin teacher, but it's an excellent for being both a journalist and a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I might want to be a lawyer.
Mm. So then you wouldn't have much trouble with concepts like habeas corpus and stare decisis and so forth, since Latin is everywhere in the law. What would you say, Ashton, to a student who might be listening, who's interested in Latin, thinking about it, but not sure that it's really the right course to go down upon? What would you say to students considering Latin?
Well, I'd definitely say that you have the chance to be part of this great brotherhood that's been down through the ages. It's just a great, fun thing to do. If you want to take a fun subject, I would say just take Latin. And also, for usefulness, I would tell them that Latin has been shown to increase your SAT scores. As I said, it also helps you figure out the etymology and the meaning of words. And so I'd just say that Latin has made me an all-around better scholar and maybe even person.
And Karen, how would you answer that question yourself? What would you add to it?
To a student debating about pursuing Latin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Ashton gave a very, very good answer. I think, again, I had to smile when she said, if you just want to take a fun subject, take Latin. But for me, that really is, above and beyond all the scholarly benefits, it's just a pleasure to study. It's a fascinating study. It's a study that's going to challenge you, and it's a study that's going to reward you in what you get to read and what you get to participate in, and the tradition you get to unearth and uncover as you do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Ashton said, too, it's amazing when you think, you know, I always think of the question, what do you do with a classics degree? What do you do with Latin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look, there are, you know, hundreds of successful people, even people living today. I have a post on my blog, LatinAliveOnline.com,
mm-hmm.
that says, what do I do with a classics degree? And there's a list of a good 30 people, I'm guessing, who are people, well-known success stories today, and classics was their major, Ted Turner being one, the great coach, Vince Lombardi. People didn't know he was a Latin teacher.
Mm.
So it's a great stepping stone to anything because of the wealth of knowledge you get in language, in culture, worldview study.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much there, such a rich subject to tap into.
Mm. And Ashton, would you say that Latin being a fun subject characterizes your classmates at Grace as well? Is it something that students really enjoy, or are you just kind of a strange, oddball Latin lover?
Can we say both?
Well, I would say that definitely, especially the two students above me, they were just, I could tell that they were having a blast during AP Virgil. I sat in on their class.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially they're not very young, but the students who are just coming into Latin Club are obviously so excited about being able to join the JCL and to compete and put their Latin to immediate use. So I'd say that I'm not the oddball out here.
Well, that's good to hear, and I hope that those listening can be motivated by this. It was probably to many it sounds counterintuitive to say that if you want a fun subject, choose Latin, because it does still retain this kind of dry, dusty, dull kind of reputation. But the two of you are saying that is not at all the case. So we thank you for taking some time and sharing a little bit about your journey. And once again, congratulations to you, Ashton, for this this national achievement being declared the number one a Latin student by the convention of the Junior Classical League. So, multas gratias, Tibiago. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We hope you enjoyed this interview with Ashton Murphy, the 2010 number one ranked Latin student of the year, as designated by the National Junior Classical League, and also the interview with Karen Moore, her Latin teacher at Grace Academy in Georgetown, Texas. To find out more about the National Junior Classical League, visit their website at www.ncjl.org. To find out more about Grace Academy of Georgetown, Texas, visit their website at www.graceacademy-gt.org. And finally, to find out more about the Latin for Children curriculum that Ashton used in her 4th through 6th grades, visit the website of Classical Academic Press at www.classicalacademicpress.com. This is Christopher Perrin for Inside Classical Ed. Thanks for listening.